Grace and peace be yours from God our Father and from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God for our meditation this morning is taken from John chapter 16, verses 23 through 30. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Here ends our text. In the name of Jesus, whose blood has set us free to be children of God, dear fellow redeemed. In 1938, scientists at Harvard University began to track the health of 268 Harvard sophomores. The goal was to discover any correlation to leading healthy and happy lives. The study is still going on today. For over 80 years, Harvard has conducted this study, expanded it to include spouses of the original students as well as their descendants. Of the original 268, only 19 are still alive. Participants follow many different paths in life, but one thing stood out in particular. Robert Waldinger, the director of the study, said this: "The surprising finding is that our relationships and how happy we are in our relationships has a powerful influence on our health. Taking care of your body is important, but tending to your relationships is a form of self-care too. That, I think, is a revelation." It's not money. It's not fame. It's not success that creates a happy life. It's cultivating good and personal relationships with other people. And as Christians, this is a no-brainer. And we don't have to perform an 80-plus year study to come to that conclusion. We can simply look at thousands of years of human history, and one of the first words God spoke concerning mankind: "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Even in a perfect world, mankind was not meant to be alone, but to share life with one another and grow together. But we also know that true happiness and joy, the type that lasts, cannot come just from our relationships with each other. It must stem from a relationship with God. And yet that's where we have a problem, isn't it? Who among us has a perfect relationship with God? Can any one of you walk into heaven right now and talk to the Most High God, the Creator of the universe, the Judge over all the earth, the one whom man shall not look upon and live? Well, Jesus tells us the answer to that in our text this morning. And that answer is a resounding yes. Yes, you have right now a new relationship with the triune God through your Savior Jesus. And it is the one relationship that matters the most. It's important to remember the context of whatever section of Scripture you are reading, and John 16 is no exception. Here, Jesus is instructing his disciples as they are on the path to the garden at Gethsemane. Meaning this will be the last time that Jesus will have the opportunity to teach his disciples before he is arrested and put to death. And after Jesus dies and rises from the dead, well, the relationship won't be the same. Everything changes. Jesus says, I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. Up to this point, the disciples have been able to take every squabble, every question, every request directly to Jesus himself and ask for his help. Now, obviously, they would no longer be able to do that once he is arrested and put to death. He's no longer alive. But even after his resurrection and his ascension into heaven, Jesus would no longer be physically present for them to go to. So Jesus is saying that their relationship with him, with God, is about to change. But in a very good way. Think back to the relationship of people to the Heavenly Father in Israel's history. There is only one time where the Father spoke directly to the people, and that was at Mount Sinai, where the people were so terrified that they never wanted God to speak to them directly again. Because he was holy, and they were not. For their entire history, the common man in the nation of Israel dared not approach God directly, lest they be found unworthy and perish. Instead, they would go through an appointed person to intercede on their behalf. Moses, or a high priest. People who were set apart by God to specifically be the go-between. Now Moses is in a league of his own. God says there is no one like him until the greater Moses comes, that is Jesus. But the high priest, they had to go through a very strict, regulated cleansing ritual. Offer specific sacrifices. And on top of that, only one person, one time a year, could enter into the Holy of Holies where God's presence dwelt. Any failure to keep God's instructions would result in their immediate death. Because they would be a sinful human being in the presence of a holy God. Even the disciples had a go-between. Jesus, who at that time was in his state of humiliation. That is, as Paul says in Philippians 2, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself. Jesus, whose glory and holiness was hidden, so to speak, was approachable as one human being would be to another. But without Jesus, what now were they to do? How were they to approach God without their go-between? And we face the same problem, don't we? Are we not also sinful human beings who are not worthy to enter the presence of God? Are we not like Isaiah, who when he saw the throne room vision, said, "Woe is me, I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips." When you entered this building this morning, did you realize that you were entering the presence of the Holy God? With all your sins and your trespasses hanging on your shoulders as if that was your clothing for the day. What we see around us is a building with seats, an altar, a pulpit. But truly, this is God's temple. It is a place dedicated to Him, to the preaching of His Word, a place that we ought to treat with reverence. For it is where God has said His presence will dwell with us in His Word. If this is where the holy presence of God dwells, then why didn't you fall over dead as soon as you walked through those doors? Why didn't I keel over as we opened our service with prayer to our Heavenly Father? By our own admission, when we confessed our sins earlier in the service, we should have. We are guilty. We are unworthy. We are feeble creatures. We are children. We are forgiven. We are redeemed. We are restored. We are covered. We are holy. Yes. And so much more. You see, you did not enter those doors alone. You brought your sin and guilt, of course, but you also came wearing the white robe of pure holiness that belongs to your Savior, Jesus. You enter this building today in the name of the one and only mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. You came with Jesus, who has changed your relationship status with your Heavenly Father forever. From a sinner who is not a son to a child and full heir of God. Those sins and trespasses you brought with you are taken away. Jesus Himself went to the cross to pay for your sins, to deliver you from their guilt. He rose from the dead to give you life everlasting, a life that includes a personal, direct relationship with your Father in heaven. And you live out this relationship more often than you think. It isn't just every time that you walk through those doors to come to church. But as Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give you. Any a time that you approach God in the name of Jesus, you are making use of this new relationship that is yours. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, He will give it to you. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father Himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. According to the Pew Research Center, 60% of American Christians pray daily. 23% pray weekly, presumably when they're in church. And 13% almost never pray. So which category do you fit in? How often do you engage in a heart-to-heart talk with God? I'm confident I could say not nearly enough. Because the Bible tells us to pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping, ever. And you have the best reason to pray always. What does prayer mean to you? The catechetical definition is what I mentioned earlier, the heart-to-heart talk with God. It means that for you, you have immediate and complete access to the God who created you. That you can go to Him without fear that you will be turned away. With the certainty that He will hear and answer your prayer. And the fact that the possibilities for your prayers are endless. That means that there isn't a prayer that is too simple or too foolish. No prayer that is too high stakes or too much of an ask. Remember that Jesus says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you. And when in a few moments you will say the words, Our Father who art in heaven, Martin Luther reminds us, God tenderly invites us to believe that He is our true Father and we are His true children. So that with all boldness and confidence we may ask Him as dear children, as their dear Father. We can have all boldness and confidence because we do not approach God on the merits of our own person, but on the merits of our Savior and on the promises that God has made in His Word to hear and answer us. It isn't Jesus who is asking the Father for you, but you yourself who ask of the Father, for the Father Himself loves you. There is but one requirement to be able to have this relationship with God, to go to Him in prayer, and that is faith. Not this great faith that has all understandings of all the teachings of the entire Bible, that completely understands God and who He is in His person. It is a simple, childlike faith that takes God at His word, that rejoices in the blessings of salvation that are yours through your Savior Jesus. But there is one condition on the content of your prayer. Did you catch it? Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father, in my name, He will give it to you. Scoffers will say, oh, Jesus said you could pray for whatever you want and God will give it to you, but that doesn't happen. And they're right. It would be foolish for us to think that we could pray for a brand new Ferrari and as soon as we leave church, there it is sitting outside in the parking lot. That is missing the important way that Jesus wants us to pray to our Heavenly Father in His name. When we pray in Jesus' name, it means that we pray according to His will and not our own. It is to pray for what He knows is best for us and not what we think is best. And of course, we should always want to pray according to His name. Just think, when it comes time to deciding what you will eat for supper, who knows better? The child who wants cotton candy and ice cream, or the parent who knows you need protein, vegetables, and fruit? Well, the answer cannot be more obvious. And if that is the way with a human parent to their child, how much more is it for our Heavenly Father, whose will is perfect and holy? To us, whose will is tainted by sin and is more selfish than anything else. No, but we should trust the will of Him who redeemed us from our sin. The will of Him from whom every good and perfect gift comes. The one who can turn our sorrow into unending joy. The one who is our good shepherd, who calms all our sorrows and our fears. And finally, when we pray in Jesus' name, we remind ourselves of the relationship that we have with God in Him. That God was in Christ, reconciling you to Himself. That you should be His ambassador for the gospel, so that all people may have this new relationship with God and come into His presence in Jesus' name. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.